fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, K Miller in the Morning, your daily media multitasker, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or the blog at 580kido.com, the hot list. Honored to join our great friend from the Washington Free Beacon, the Gertz File, many bestsellers, a man who tirelessly works to give us the truth about national security that Republican or Democrat administrations don't like to hear, but without him, we wouldn't know what's going on. Bill Gertz. Mr. Gertz, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Kevin. Good to be on the program.
You know, I go back to your many books on China and your reporting from several outlets in Washington. Based on your in-depth knowledge of national security, did you ever think that we would be where we are today, sir?
Well, I've been covering national security for a long time, and things are pretty bleak on the world scene as far as threats and crises going on. I mean, everywhere you look, it seems like there's a new crisis emerging every day.
And sir, the lack of respect now in the digital age, where we have a guy dressed up as a ninja actually calling out the president before he beheads someone, as if this were a pro wrestling skit, but it's real.
Yeah, that's the effect of social media that's been going on. I mean, this nothing can take place in the world today that isn't instantly transmitted to everybody's iPhones and televisions and radios. And it's an interesting time to live. And certainly there are a lot of challenges and threats. And I'm not sure that the Obama administration is really up to the task for dealing with this, especially as it relates to this terrorist group, ISIL.
And here's the interesting thing, is a person who has studied and worked with the folks, social media must take PSYOP, psychological operations, as they used to call it, to a different game.
Yes. In fact, I was just thinking about that yesterday. They've actually, you know, they have these intelligence disciplines like UMINT for human intelligence, SIGINT for signals intelligence. They have a new intelligence for social media. It's called SOCMINT. For social media intelligence. So it's become an entire new discipline of intelligence work to monitor social media and to use it for national security purposes, for intelligence gathering on the bad guys, as well as in a military sense for targeting the bad guys, especially as it relates to ISIL in Syria and Iraq.
Bill Gertz, the Washington Free Beacon, the Gertz File. You can catch him anywhere talking about national security. Usually we're talking about China, but Mr. Gertz, let's talk about the threat. How about this one? Surrender in the war of ideas. Constitutional yeah. Religious clause prevents Obama administration from countering Islamic State ideology.
Yeah, this is a really, really important story. I spent all last week working on this, trying to get the administration to talk about it. The data points for this were when Obama announced his new strategy against ISIL, one of the things that caught my eye was the fact that he mentioned that we're going to attack the warped ideology of ISIL. A few days later, the Pentagon said the center of gravity in this military campaign is the ideology of ISIL. That is their theory and practice, what motivates them. And in this case, it's Islamist extremism. Well, it turns out the Obama administration is severely hamstrung in its ability to wage ideological war against ISIL because it's afraid of violating the constitutional separation of church and state. It can't deal with religion, and so it's really a big problem. I think they need real leadership. They need to say, look, this is a problem government can take, and they need to attack the ideology. That's ultimately the way we're going to win the war against terrorism. You can't kill your way out of it. As the former Air Force Chief of Staff, Merrill McPeak, General McPeak, said, you can't carpet bomb an idea. So really, this is a key element in this current battle against terrorism, the ability to attack and destroy their ideology, not just their fighters on the ground.
And I'm sure they're aware of our limits.
Yes, and they're exploiting them. And obviously there are also Muslim activist groups that have been preventing the administration. A lot of them are inside the administration and telling the administration, you have no authority to talk about Islam, you know. And fact of the matter is, yeah, look, when you've got guys claiming in the name of Allah that they're flying aircraft into buildings and beheading people and blowing up things, it's time to take a look at that and say, look, we've got to address this problem.
One of the problems, though, is just how to deal with it. And Mr. Gertz, I don't know if you've caught the Ben Affleck clips. Let's play a couple of them here.
You're saying that Islamophobia is not a real thing, that if you're critical of something...
Well, it's not a real thing when we do it.
Right.
Well, no, it really isn't. I'm not denying that certain people are bigoted against Muslims as people,
that's
a problem.
Big of you.
But...
Why are you so hostile about this concept?
It's gross. It's racist.
It's so nuts. It's like saying you're a shifty Jew.
You're not listening
to what we
are saying.
You guys are saying, if you want to be liberals, believe in liberal principles,
right.
Like freedom of speech. Like, you know, we are endowed by our forefathers with inalienable rights, like all men are created
equal.
Ben, we have to be able to criticize bad ideas. And
of course we do.
Islam,
no liberal doesn't want to criticize bad ideas.
But Islam
but
at
why
this moment is the mother load of bad ideas.
Jesus.
So we have
that's
ideas
just a
like...
Do you think this battle is going on in the administration or not?
No, unfortunately, it's not. It should be going on. We need a debate on this. I think it's really important because if we're disarming ourselves in the war of ideas by saying we can't talk about Islam and terrorism together, we're really at a disadvantage. Like I said, we'll never solve this problem. And I think that really characterizes the left liberal view of this issue. Liberals are saying it's a religious freedom issue, and therefore we can't impinge upon the Muslims' right to behead people and blow up buildings and fly aircraft into buildings. You know, that's wrong. The Muslims aren't going to do it, and the problem with the Muslim community, which the administration is kind of farming out this counter-ideological campaign, is that they sympathize with the ultimate goals of these extremists. They just don't agree with the means that they use, the violent means that they use to achieve those ends. So that's really where there's a disconnect in this issue.
As someone, again, who's covered national security, Bill Gertz, what goes on in your mind where you have the administration sympathetic to these folks?
Well, like I say, they're cutting off debate by setting these terms by saying that anything you say about Islam, you're automatically an Islamophobe. Therefore, you can't have a legitimate debate. Now, the first step in a war is to understand who your enemy is. And by cutting off that debate, by not addressing the Islamic nature of terrorism, you're not identifying the enemy. That's the first step in winning this war. And I talk to a lot of military people who understand that. There are people in the intelligence community that understand that. But this high-level political correctness that says that somehow or other you can't address the Islamic nature of terrorism is killing us. I mean, it's really going to, in the long term, it's going to prevent us from really achieving the kind of victory we want. Right now, the military is doing an excellent job of blowing up vehicles and tanks and a few things in the desert. But, you know, ask yourself, is that really going to be the long-term solution? Are we going to win this war by doing that? The answer is clearly no. We have to do more. We have to do the ideological part.
Bill Gertz with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO, the Washington Free Beacon, the Gertz File. And I'd love to talk to about China and Russia, but I have to ask you,
sure. How
did this all fall apart in the Middle East?
Well, it was, I think it was part and parcel of the Obama administration's going-in strategy. The Obama administration and the president himself got elected as the anti-George Bush administration presidency. In other words, everything George Bush did, Iraq, Afghanistan, greatly to Iraq, lesser for Afghanistan, they went against. So when they pulled out of Iraq too early, this was predictable. I mean, it was predictable that these terrorists would gradually come to power in parts of Iraq, and they just really, it was a policy of neglect. The president made very clear in his policies that he came to office to end America's wars, not to start them. He wanted to use the money, and there was a great deal of blood and treasure invested in those wars, to use them for domestic programs. And so that's kind of where his focus was. Well, 6 years into his presidency, he realized, hey, you know, foreign policy is important too, and now we have to turn and deal with this new problem of ISIL in Iraq and Syria.
How scary is ISIL compared to al-Qaeda and the Taliban?
Well, ISIL is al-Qaeda. That's the first step. You know, what happened was we basically decimated al-Qaeda's leadership. We decapitated them through a concerted program of drone strikes. The worst job for the terrorist group al-Qaeda was to be their top leader or their number two leader, because we were blowing them up with drone strikes. And that really severely hampered them. They switched tactics and decided, well, look, we've got to do something different here. So they began to slightly moderate their ideology in order to attract more Muslim followers and supporters around the world. The people in ISIL said, no way. They believe in this ultra-violent jihadist notion that you have to have a scorched earth policy. It's our way or the highway. You convert or die. And they eventually broke off. And the Syrian conflict, which began several years ago, was really the kind of the petri dish for that divide. And so you had al-Qaeda, what they call al-Qaeda Central, in the group called al-Nusra Front. And then you had the offshoot, which was ISIL, the Islamic State of Levant and al-Sham, and Islamic State of Levant and Levant. And they're the ones that eventually broke off and decided to take more activist steps. And that's when they, in June, invaded Iraq and took over two divisions worth of Iraqi military equipment. So, and then as well as millions of dollars that they obtained from banks in Mosul. So they're well-armed and well-funded. And that has greatly increased the threat.
Bill Gertz with us, the Washington Free Beacon. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. A lot's going on in Afghanistan that isn't being reported. Your thoughts on what's next there?
Well, the military adamantly told the Obama civilian leadership, look, we're not cutting and running from here. So they were able to get a new government. They got rid of Karzai, who was kind of unhinged as a leader in Afghanistan. They voted in a new leader, and they were able to reach a status of forces agreement, which will leave in place a small force in Afghanistan so that we can protect the gains that we've made there in trying to stabilize that country. Things are still not looking good. The Taliban, by the way, is not aligning itself with ISIL. They're still on the al-Qaeda central side of this great terrorist divide that's emerging. And the Taliban are trying to make gains to ultimately take over that country. And it's hoped that the remaining forces that we keep in Afghanistan will prevent that from happening. But certainly, there's still a long way to go to stabilize Afghanistan.
More coming up with our great friend Bill Gertz, the Washington Free Beacon, the Gertz File.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Joining us once again, Bill Gertz from the Washington Free Beacon, the Gertz File. Let's talk about our favorite topic, sir, China.
Yes. Well, basically, the Chinese just recently conducted a flight test of a new intercontinental ballistic missile called the DF-31B. This is a new variant of a missile they've been fielding for the last several years, and it's actually their sixth new road mobile missile with a nuclear strike capability. So this is what you've got to say is a major nuclear forces buildup on the part of the Chinese, and we're hearing very little said about it from the Obama administration. It's basically been ignored. And yet the Chinese are in the midst of this major nuclear forces modernization, and the United States is building down its nuclear force. Obama wants to get rid of all nuclear weapons.
Well, and that's the troubling aspect. And you've talked about the erosion of the Navy. We don't know what we're doing with the Air Force. The idea of riffing out great qualified battle-hardened folks, putting in the illegals. What is our military capability now?
Well, we're still the strongest military on Earth, but that's being definitely taken down a notch. The cuts under the Obama administration have been severe. There's really, I don't know if it's a crisis, but it's a near crisis in terms of funding the military. There's just not enough money to go around. Now we've launched new military operations, which are costing billions of dollars. This is at a time when the when the military forces can't even do their basic training and the re-equipping and the modernizing of their conventional forces. And this kind of cuts that have been taking place under Obama are kind of a perfect storm of defense degradation, because all of the weapons that we have now in the military were developed during the 80s and fielded in the 90s, and they're coming to the end of their life cycle. They need to be replaced. They need to be modernized, and there's no money to do that. Secondly, we've been fighting wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and other parts of the and a lot of the equipment is wearing out, and that needs to be replaced. And so you have all of this coming together at a time when you're cutting the budgets, and we are in a world of hurt in terms of modernizing our military. It's not going to take very long for our military capabilities to rapidly degrade over the next several years if it isn't reversed, if this decline in military spending isn't turned around.
Bill Gertz, have we come across an enemy that we have no, you know, we really have never faced? You know, we're used to fighting a war, winning, going home, and celebrating. But these people look at it as going back to the Crusades. You look at the Chinese, very patient in how they look at warfare strategically, cyber warfare, propaganda warfare, financial warfare. Are we in, you know, in the deep water with ISIL and the Chinese when we're talking about their look at warfare and ours?
Absolutely. Warfare in the 21st century is becoming hybrid, is what they call hybrid warfare, and it's a combination of warfare. It's conventional warfare. It's also information warfare. There's a kind of a non-kinetic. You have intelligence warfare and covert action and commando warfare, but the key feature that I see emerging is this notion of information warfare. I did a piece recently for the Free Beacon that discussed this. It was called China's Three Warfares, and it said that China understands that nuclear warfare is very difficult to carry out and would have any effect. Conventional warfare is also problematic, so they've adopted three types of non-kinetic warfare. It's psychological warfare, media warfare, and legal warfare, and the U.S. is ill-prepared. This Pentagon report on this subject said that in our military schools and colleges, we're not even teaching about China's use of information warfare and legal warfare, how to use the law to hamstring the superpower. And they're using these features to kind of, you know, we talk a lot about the rise of China. Well, the other thing China is doing is managing the decline of the United States. They're supporting America's enemies, namely Iran and places like Syria and North Korea. And at the same time, they're building up their own forces. They're working to support America's enemies.
Well, and Mr. Gertz, you've been at this for years. But without you, and people in this country and abroad have criticized you because, oh, how dare you tell the truth about the Chinese, yet you're the only one out there. We're not teaching our kids in the school that, look, the Chinese are stealing our patents, stealing our technology. It's cyber warfare. We're teaching that they're our business partners and that are our friends.
Yes, that is the really key issue. We've got to tell the truth about China. I'm not against doing business with China, but we need to make it clear to people that the Chinese pose a major strategic threat to the United States. And instead, we've tried to ignore that. We've tried to play that down because we want to do business with them. And, of course, the Chinese have been able to exploit that. They tell people that do business in China, don't say anything bad about China if you want to do business here. And so we're really in a quandary in how to deal with this emerging threat. And it's getting worse. The Chinese are getting more aggressive in the South China Sea and the East China Sea. They're ramping up their rhetoric against Japan on almost a daily basis. In the Chinese press, you'll hear attacks on Japan as some type of a World War II militarist state where, you know, Japan is a modern democracy that wants to live in peace and harmony in the region. And it looks like the Chinese don't want that to happen.
Bill Gertz, it's been too long. I know you're very busy. We really appreciate you making time for us, sir.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.
All right, our great friend Bill Gertz, Washington Free Beacon. Check his work out. He's been at this for, what, 30, 40 years? His book, what was it, Red Dragon? No, that was a movie. Green Dragon, something like that. Just email, Google his books. He's been detailing the rise of China and the erosion of our national security against the dragon for many, many years. You think about what Clinton did when he sold the missile technology. You think about what Bush did with the financial system, getting China in the World Trade Organization. You look at everything that's manufactured by China. You take a look at, and here's the other one. What is it, Alibaba, Dave Petzl and I talk about? Chinese companies don't have the full, I mean, look, in this country we get ripped off by Enron and U.S. companies, and we have a lot more transparency when it comes to finances than the Chinese companies that are owned by the Chinese Communist Party. That's not hyperbole. That's not making fun of the Chinese government. It's a fact. The Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party owns their businesses. So when you go and do business with China and you partner with them, you're partnering with the Chinese Communist. Of course, no one else will tell you that, and we'll do it as long as we're here. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
All right. I guess that this will be the official theme of the state of Idaho now. Men, men, men marrying men, women marrying women. The Ninth Circuit completes the coup d'etat. Dave Burnett, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So there we have it. Yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting there digesting a nice lunch from the RAM here at the Broadcast Center, frolicking around with all the other little... I can't say that word anymore. With all the other co-workers, and boom, all of a sudden, the Ninth Circuit strikes down the same-sex ban, the appeal, if you will, from Nevada and Idaho, and we're getting ready to get marriage licenses, but the governor is holding the line.
Well, I think legally he, you know, has to battle it to the end. That's his constitutional duty as, you know, as our state elected official.
Well, unlike the governor of California, unlike the president of the United States, the governor is actually doing his duty. We're talking about, of course, Prop 8 in California and DOMA with President Obama. So this is what people will be talking about today. Of course, they'll be talking about it in the safe haven of conservatism here at 580KIDO, because yesterday I was talking to two good friends of mine who called me a bigot, the other called me a homophobe, not a homophone. Thank you, Mrs. Miller, for auditing or editing the blog there at 580KIDO, but a homophobe. And just because I disagree with same-sex marriage, so let the name-calling begin.
So you're not allowed to have your own opinion? Or was that the deal?
Exactly. And like I said, you can read the blog at 580kido.com. But the question that I have, and you and I debate this all the time, it's one of the many things that we agree on because this is agreement radio here. The promoters of tolerance are all about tolerance until you disagree with them.
Exactly. Yeah, it's, you know what, you have the right to your opinion unless it's different than mine. That's the motto I live by, Kev.
Well, exactly, and what really breaks my heart is the good people of California, never mind the Windsor decision, never mind anything else, but people would go into churches and temples and go after these religious folks because they use their constitutional right to say marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's indescribable.
Well, it's, you know, it has been struck down by the Ninth Circuit Court. The Supreme Court doesn't want to touch the issue, and so it is the way it is. Those who are in favor of gay marriage, big victory on their side. They're all celebrating. Those who are opposed to it, feeling the sting of defeat, and we move forward. And those who are oblivious want to know who won on the Voice last night.
Right, who won on the vote last night? And, of course, here we have Dan Popke giving us Congressman Labrador's take on it. That's nice of Dan Popke to fill us in on that. But what does it say to the broader question? Is it over? Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, Dave Burnett?
When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think in my own personal opinion, if I'm allowed to have one, I think we have passed a mile marker in this state's history that there's no going back.
Well,
I mean, it's not going to be rescinded, not going to be, you know, it's not going to be going back. There's an overwhelming wave to change the way America was that is going on, and whether it has to do with gay marriage, whether it has to, you know, with a number of issues. We could talk all morning about the issues of how this country is changing. And, you know, I was talking with somebody yesterday about, you know, pot smoking, the fact that pot will be legalized, you know, within 5 years, it'll be legal everywhere. Hmm. You know, so it's just part of the changing morality.
Well, the immorality, but back to,
exactly.
It still isn't over. I mean, the Ninth Circuit eliminated the stay. Thank you, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, for clarifying that this morning for us. However, the Supreme Court, although highly unlikely, could hear if Idaho, through Lawrence Wasdin, decides to appeal the stay, if you will.
They didn't want to touch it last time they had it before them. Why would they change now?
That's the issue. But there is one person that can save us, and I'm calling on him right now. And his name, C.L. Butch Otter. Governor, you're up right now, hanging out with the horses. You know, you and I have not always gotten along. Dave Burnett sure knows about those stories.
So you're wanting me to comment on that? Kevin, you and I don't always get along. So
yeah, I don't always get along with myself.
Exactly.
However, Governor, only you can save us now. You must take this battle to the Supreme Court. You must fight for conservatism. You must fight for traditional marriage. It is all up to you, Governor. I don't think that Mr. Bujak will do it. I don't think that Mr. Belukoff will do it. Well, pro-life would impeach everybody.
Can I interrupt?
Sure.
What is A.J. Belukoff's stand on gay marriage?
I'll tell you what his stand is. He's going to, you know, I stand for getting funding back to schools is what I stand for.
No, not the schools. We know that. We know that song. But what is his stand on gay marriage?
Well, you can interview me. I'll be A.J. Belukoff here at 580KIDO.
Well, no, I don't think this close to the election, I don't think that's fair. But I would like to see him make a statement on what his stance is.
I'm going to tell you what he says here. This is going to be
okay. What is your stance on gay marriage?
You know, Dave, that's such a great question, and it is such a question for the courts and everything else. And I think the Ninth Circuit has said, but I'm really here for the folks in Idaho. And one of the big issues here is I want to you know, not be so divisive. I don't want to, you know, us versus them, gay versus straight. Let's just all get along and really focus in on getting our monies back to schools. You know, we need to raise taxes here, and we need to make sure that the schools are properly funded. Case in point, when I was running the Boise School Board, do you know that's one of the best school districts in the country?
What was my question? I don't remember now.
Well, we were talking about school funding and how the governor has cut everything.
Yeah, I mean, I really would like to see the gubernatorial candidates state their position and their stance.
Well, we know the governors.
Because, and again, I don't know, and maybe the statement has been made by A.J. Belukoff. I don't know what his stance is, but if his stance is in favor of traditional marriage, how will that stand with the teachers?
Well, I think a lot of teachers are so I guess we can put this song to rest.
Ain't no plans with a man. It's the 80s and I'm down with the ladies.
Very, very hateful.
Or I guess we could replace it with this one.
It ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
Glad he lumped me in there on that.
Yeah. No, I really would, though. I would like to see all the gubernatorial candidates state their position. If they were the governor, what their stance today and what their action would be.
And I want to call out the local media, by the way.
Okay.
I want to call out the local media because do you see where everybody is doing their jabroni live shots? Well, we only have two stations that are doing live shots today, and they're outside the Ada County Courthouse. Where, remember last year, gay marriage, woohoo, we're going to go have donuts and coffee in front of the Ada County Courthouse. And then Governor Otter said, nope, we're going to appeal. Not so fast. And so the big news last night wasn't the traffic conditions that we've been covering, real issues that impact everybody else.
The blood moon.
Right, the blood moon. Just talk to, you know, Art Gregory or George Norrie about that. The issue is, you know, whether or not they're ready. Do they have the ballots ready? Do they have the marriage license? They've gotten rid of man and wife. Hey, this is breaking news, y'all. They've gotten rid of.
Come on, Elmer, spit it out.
Man and wife, and it's spouse and spouse.
Yes.
And let's all go down to the Ada County Courthouse. Of course, they're not going to be there too late. So selfishly, the TV station should be here getting the views of the people. But no. They get the other side. They don't get your side. They're not on your side, no matter what they say, folks.
I guess I would ask you this question. I'm going to assume, it's a big assumption on my part, that you'll be opening up the phones to take comments, pro and con.
We will talk about it. We have our media expert, Tim Graham, on to look at the media avenue of it. We have Steve Yates, chairman of the GOP. We're going to talk about ISIS and ISIL, but we will talk about how this affects the gubernatorial race with him. And the rest of the day, it will be all about the listener, because that's what makes the world go round. Now, I'm going to hit you with something here. Well, what's the big deal about gay marriage? How does that change your relationship, Dave Burnett?
How does it change mine?
I hear this all the time.
Does not change my relationship at all or my belief.
But so what's the harm in letting the same sex? Can I say gays anymore? Let the gays?
Well, sure.
You can say the gays still?
Sure, absolutely.
Let the gay. What's wrong with the gays getting married? Why do you have a problem with that, Dave Burnett? Are you not tolerant? Are you not a man that's hip and with it and blah, 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 blah?
I'm just an old codger.
Apparently. But my response is, well, then what's next? You know, in Utah, you can see this at the Kevin Miller blog at 580kido.com. In Utah, you've got one judge that already struck down Utah's, I love how they phrase this, anti-polygamy law. Anti-polygamy law. Well, maybe they should go back to the people that founded Utah. And if polygamy is legal now, they fought a whole lot of bloody battles and kept that state out of the union for quite some time over something that we knew more about it than they did, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, that, and again, where I opened up this morning is it is just another block out of morality and what this country was founded upon. I mean, do I hate gay people? Absolutely not. But it's just one more block that's out.
Right.
And to me, and again, it's my lonely opinion. I don't think it's right. I don't think tearing down what this country was founded upon is the way to go. But obviously, well, I don't know. I was going to say the people, but no, I think the people didn't vote for that. I think the courts decided that the people didn't know what they were saying. And that, truly, for me, that's the question I have, is that what happened to what the people wanted? I mean, if the people of the state of Idaho voted and said, we want gay marriage, then the people voted for that. But that's not what the people voted for.
Right.
So where is it? I mean, I guess I feel like the court is saying, you don't know what's right for you. You don't know what's good for you. And as a state, we've been told that's not good for you.
Well, I go back to this polygamy thing. Okay, so then they legalize polygamy. Then are we going to legalize marriage between a man, a woman, and a woman, or a man, two men and a woman?
Well, I'll never forget Glenn Beck's first show in Idaho. He was doing a spoof about he wanted to marry his sister.
Right.
And doing the whole show about that, and people went nuts. This guy wants to marry his sister. I don't know. You know, would that be next?
Well, who's to stop brotherly and sisterly love?
Well, there is love there, Kevin.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Who's to stop it now?
Well, if you get in conversation with people, oh, it's not going to go that far. Well, who thought it would go this far?
Right.
So, again.
Well, you know, that's the thing. And then, you know, what else is next? I still can't believe that we have this here at 580KIDO, that the issue of, you know, where do you stop? And, you know, we keep talking about this, but clearly, where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? Because that was the line. Now it's open season.
Well, again, as I said, for those who are supporters of gay marriage, big victory. Very happy this morning. For those who oppose it, see it as defeat. Not so happy.
Right.
And that's where we stand. It's a blood moon out there, Kevin. You might catch the last of it if you hurry out and look now.
Yeah, I almost hit a deer this morning.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it because you were eating and not paying attention to the road or looking at the blood moon?
Actually, I was smart. I was paying attention, and I saw this in my peripheral vision there. I saw something moving, and it's a deer running alongside me. And I go, he's going to cut in front of me. So I hit the brakes, and yep, whoosh, right in front of me.
We could have been having venison steak right now.
Well, we'd have to have do we have a grill? Does that grill outside work?
I think it does. We'll make it work. We'll fire it. Hey, who cares if it's against the law? We'll tear down the trees and burn them. Make a fire.
It's the anti-venison law here.
Yeah, that's probably what it would be. Kevin, you're trying.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
558, Kevin Miller in the morning coming up. We'll take a look at the same-sex marriage in Idaho, number one. We'll talk to Tim Graham from the Reedy Research Center, look at how the media is covering these controversial stories. And note to the local TV stations, nothing's going on at the Ada County Courthouse till 8 o'clock. Your live shots are done by 7. Why are you wasting your time? You should be in here listening to the people, not talking at them. See, we listen. Let's talk. First, let's go to traffic at 559, Kevin Miller in the morning. A lot of people keep saying Germans bombing Pearl Harbor. This is what we're relating to.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... The tough get going!
And that's what it is, the tough get going. We're just getting started. Let's talk, 580 KIDO.
Serving Emmett.